1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm kind of all over the place this morning. Amen, Sister Tar. And so you all have to just dominate. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll be there for like 2 seconds, and then we're going to head to Numbers 13. So as we've been continuing this journey through the wilderness, God's just been impressing upon me that God is in the wilderness. God speaks in the wilderness. God speaks in each and every situation. We have to make sure that we are listening. God is always speaking. We just have to make sure we're listening. 1 Corinthians 10, and let me see what verse do I want to go to. 10 and 10. How about that? 1 Corinthians 10 and 10. Remember, I hope you're taking notes. As I was studying this morning, again, I have notes on my notes. Anyway, God's always speaking. I have my notes, and then I'm studying, and God speaks some more, and then I have to write notes. So always come prepared to take notes. Somebody say amen. And remember, always bring your Bible to church. Novel concept that you would bring a Bible to church. But not a phone. I told you about those phones. You just one notification away from a journey you don't need to take during this time. Somebody say amen. So in addition to your phone, have your Bible and something to take notes with. Somebody say amen. And I was trying to find out, God spent a lot of time on murmuring and complaining. Amen, amen. And so I wanted to leave it, but we just scratched the surface on it. And so I was trying to just wrap my mind around the complaining part, and it kept them in the wilderness. And so we have to make sure, family, that we guard against all five things, and definitely the complaining. I have a few notes here. It says we must operate with a high level of Christian maturity when we are in the wilderness. God doesn't want us to fool ourselves thinking we are in God's will when we are actually wandering in the wilderness. As we conclude our series on the wilderness, let's look at a few more examples that is relevant to our lives today. Make a note. When you don't trust God with everything, you will complain about anything. Let me say that again. When you don't trust God with everything, you will complain about anything. So verse 1 Corinthians 10 and 10, says, neither murmur as some of them are also murmured and were destroyed of the serpents. Verse 11. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples. So we don't have to hit our head up against the wall because we have examples, and they are written for our instruction, our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come. And so as we approach the end times, as we approach the end of our life, we have examples on how to live and how not to live. And we have instructions on how to live and how not to live. Isn't that something? People say, I wish God would tell me some. God's already written it. He's already told you. He's given you instructions. He's given us examples. We just choose not to follow them. Let's go back to let's take a look at an example. Let's learn from an example. Somebody say amen. Let's go to Numbers. Let's start with Numbers 13. I love God's word. I was studying. I was so excited when I was studying. Is that where I'm at? Numbers 13. Because I get all confused. Okay, yeah, Numbers 13. So I'm all excited studying and just getting into this. And I write all this, write this stuff, because I want to give it to you just like God gave it to me. So I'm going to have to apologize for reading so much, but I want you to get it. I want you to get it just like God gave it to me. Amen. So here we go. God is sending spies to look at the promised land. That's 13 and 1, Dominique, if I didn't say. Numbers 13 and 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, underline and make a note, God speaks in the wilderness. God gives instruction in the wilderness. Family, we have to be careful who we listen to in the while we're in the wilderness. God speaks in each and every situation. We have to make sure we are listening. Be careful who you are listening to and stop ignoring the word of God. Embrace the word of God. Believe it and apply it to your life. 13:1, and Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto, underline that, which God says, I'm giving unto you. Is that what God says right there, that he's given it to us? It's just like he says, I've given you life and that more abundantly. So why aren't we living in the abundant life, the complete full life of Christ? Because I tell you why, we're listening to the wrong voice in the wilderness. Of every tribe, he said, of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, everyone a ruler, men leaders, and every man in here is a leader. Amen? Amen. Among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads, leaders of the children of Israel. So they sent all the leaders, and of course they go and they see what's over there. And so then we pick it up. Let's go to 13:30. We pick up the narrative there. They were kind of explaining what they saw, and people were getting all excited. Because remember, when you walk by what you see, you're already in trouble. When you live by what you see, you're already in trouble. And so here's Caleb. Caleb stilled the people. Caleb chilled the people out. I like that. It probably wasn't meant chilled, but it was stilled. Okay? Caleb chilled the people out because they're all excited. Make a note. Caleb is, you got God and you got Caleb speaking on behalf of God. So Caleb is the voice of God right here. And Caleb chilled the people out before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Whatever you and I are going through, God's already given us the ability through Jesus Christ to overcome it. Christ said, I overcame the world, and I'm in you, and you're in me, so you shall overcome too. Oh, and I wrote down what it means to overcome. All right, let's see, Pastor, because you know you write stuff, and then you can't find overcome. Amen. You writing stuff. Where is it? Overcome, it means the ability, victor, to prevail, to endure, strength and power. He said, we've already overcome it. We have the ability to go in and take the land. We can prevail, which means to succeed. We're a victor, which means we're victorious. We can endure it. Somebody say amen. Amen. It might not happen overnight, but you can endure it because you have strength and power. And as we studied on the Holy Spirit last week, we know the Holy Spirit gives us all those things inside of us in addition to the Holy Spirit interceding and supporting and advocating for us. So Caleb said, let's go get it. And in verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, oh, here's a different voice, family in the wilderness. Here's a different voice. And when it starts off with, but, you know, you're in trouble. When your kids, what happened? But, you know, it's, you know, something's up. Then I tell you, yeah, dad, but it's a problem. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Why is it that when we hear something, God speaking, the word of God is speaking, and then somebody else is speaking, and we tend to listen to the negative that say we can't do it, or say that God can't do it, as opposed to listening to God and the word of God, we listen to the negative. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up or devoured the inhabitants thereof, and the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. They're bigger than us. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we are in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Seriously? Grasshoppers? Insects? The translation, Hebrew translation is insects. And then the people start crying out. God had already told them. Caleb told them, but they listened to the wrong voice. Now they're crying out. Take a look at in the men's Bible study. I came in on the end of it with the brothers, and they were talking about identity crisis. And here we have an identity crisis. Instead of seeing ourselves as God sees us, we got to get rid of this grasshopper mentality. Oh, it gets better. Take a look. Let's quickly look at Judges 6. I'm going to take you just briefly to Bible study. This is what we studied in Bible study. Judges 6. And where do I want to go with this? Judges 6 and 12. Family, we have an identity crisis. The body of Christ, we don't know who we are. Look, are you there? Say amen. Judges 6 and 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you, you champion of strength. That's the translation for mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you, you champion of strength. Look at his response. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this happening to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And make a note, God didn't forsake them. We know that they were worshiping false idols. But you know how the enemy turns it around. But that's not where I'm trying to go. This is where I'm trying to go. Verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? Verse 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor. God just called him a mighty man of valor, a champion of strength, and he's talking about how poor his family is. We do have an identity crisis. God told them to go take the land, and they're talking about they're grasshoppers. Not only did he say he's poor, he says, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. So of the poor, I'm poor. I'm the poorest. So instead of just being poor, you know how they say you dirt poor? He's trying to say I'm dirt poor. We have to eliminate the grasshopper and the dirt poor mentality. And it's not about the prosperity to name it and claim it and grab it and blab it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your daily walk in life. We have to see ourselves that we're a special treasure. We're royalty. We're heirs. We're joint heirs with the Father, joint heirs with the Son. And we have to understand that. We have to understand that. And we have to stop listening to the wrong voices. So I wrote some notes on this. I got a bunch of stuff to read too, but it says we have to be careful and listen to the right voice. This is the revelation. Both men spoke. The people chose to listen to the voice that was contrary to the voice of God. Why do we choose to listen to negativity? God told them, Caleb told them, but the people listened, believed, and responded to the negative voice. And they're weeping and they're crying and all that kind of stuff. And so when we talk about the man or mankind, so it includes men and women. The man's holding me back. The man's not holding you back. It's you not trusting God that's holding you back. The man has nothing to do with it. And if you make the man the a general sense, the man can be the TV because you're watching too much TV and you don't read. Or you spend all your time on social media and then you get into politics and listen to idiots. And then sometimes family and friends, I didn't say the family and friends were idiots, that's a separate category. And then we're surrounded by these satanically influenced systems. And then in a personal sense, that man or that woman that you've been hanging out with is holding you back because that's not from the voice of God. And that's not the plan of God, and you know that. So the man might be holding you back, but it's only because you allow to listen to that and not what God has instructed you on. So let me read a couple, read this. Let me see, because I had some good stuff in here. Why do we still doubt the power of God? Men, we have to learn to trust God and live and communicate according to the word of God. Speak life into your marriage. Speak life into your children, your job, your business, your ministry. Agree with the word of God, not with what your lying eyes are telling you. Keep tithing, keep believing, keep serving, continue to love God unconditionally. Stay humble, stay gentle, continue to care, trust God always. Agree with the word of God. They may look and be stronger, but God has given you the land. Those who don't trust God in the wilderness will die in the wilderness. That's what happened here. That's the revelation. Never to experience the promise of God. We have a choice. The perception and the report of men or the word of God. Family, we must trust God regardless of how things look. Stop looking at how big the problem is and start looking at how big our God is. How much have we forfeited or missed because we didn't trust God or believe the promises of God? Why are we still worrying about stuff and things? And God has told us, let not your heart be troubled and neither be afraid. And we're still losing sleep. Amen. So here we go. Look at verse. Let's go back to Numbers. Are we back at Numbers now? So Gideon made excuses. These men are saying we're just grasshoppers. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants and were in our own sight, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. The word sight, where's sight at? All right, Pastor, where'd you write sight at? Oh, there it is. All right. It speaks of a physical, the Hebrew word speaks of a physical, mental, and spiritual perspective. So not only in their stature, but in their mind and their spirit, they said, we're just grasshoppers. Regardless of, I know what God said, but in my mind, in my spirit, I'm just a grasshopper. Family, we have to see ourselves as God sees us, not as our limited mind would have us to perceive ourselves. Youth, you have to see yourself as God sees you, a special treasure. Yes. Step on a high school campus, that college campus, and they're going to call you all kind of names and tell you you're this, you're that, you're and the other. But you got to know what the word of God says about you. Yes. You're a champion of strength. You're a special treasure.
That's right.
Gideon's coming with self-doubt and back talk. And he went on to ask God to show me a sign. God talking to you? God's word is not sign enough for you? I have it written down, so I got to read it, Sister Kathy. We have to eliminate the grasshopper mentality and the dirt poor thinking. Talking about a day-to-day victorious living and being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. To defeat the giants in our life and share the gospel with a dying world. Revival has to start in the church, and then we will infect and affect a lost and dying world. But it got to start here. If we don't believe it, how can we convince anyone else? We walk around thinking we're grasshoppers and dirt poor. We will not effectively influence anyone for Christ. Make a note. God hasn't forsaken us. God is fighting for us. God isn't punishing us. God is pursuing us. Let me say that again. God hasn't forsaken us. God hasn't forsaken us. God is fighting for us. And God isn't punishing us. God is pursuing us. We have to trust God in the wilderness or we will never get out of the wilderness. Yeah. Let me say it again. We have to trust God in the wilderness or we will never get out of the wilderness. Amen. We are already in February. At the end of next week, we're halfway through February. And we just can't be wandering around. Family, you got to be studying every day. You got to be praying every day, reading the word, meditating, not for a long time, for a religious thing, but you got to stay close to the heartbeat of God so you can hear the voice of God through the word of God and stop listening to all that other stuff that's going on out there. And then when you look at verse 33, it talks about Anak and the giants. And so the giants, not the baseball or the football team, in case you guys, that's not the Giants this is talking about. In the Greek, it's talking about it's called Nephilim. I believe I'm saying this right. Nephilim. They were the offsprings of the sons of God and the daughters of men before the flood, according to Genesis 6:1-4. The Hebrew term Nephilim, by some scholars, is also the word fallen. And that's based on Ezekiel 32:27. Get a chance, you read it. And Anak, a race of giants, that's what Anak was. So some kind of way there were giants. We know that Goliath was about 8 feet tall. It speaks of the giants, and all depends on who you talk to. Some people say that it was the fallen, because Nephilim, it means fallen. Say it was the fallen angels, and then that's where in Genesis it's talked about they came and slept with the daughters of men and created this race of giants. I'm just telling you what's out there. So when you hear it, you don't have to sound shocked. And so it's these race of satanic giants, and they are in the land. I'm not a scholar on that kind of stuff, but I know enough to speak on it. So they see these race of giants, and regardless of what kind of satanic sin created them, and if they are, God said, I've given you victory over them. Go kick their butts and get them out of there. God is still more powerful than Satan. Amen. So you don't have to get into an argument when folks want to try and seem smart and say, well, what about the giants that came down, the angels that fell and slept with? So what? God still wiped them out during the flood and in Canaan. So regardless of what they want to try and make it to be, it doesn't negate the power of God. So I say, make a note that whatever they are and were, the satanic sin that produced them, God said, kill it, wipe it out, and get rid of it. And that's why when you understand that and you read the scriptures and God says, go kill them, don't leave nobody, kill their kids, because it's a whole race of satanic sin that created. Get rid of all of it. Well, why would a loving God kill? Because it's created by satanic sin and God can't stand it. So you got to understand the context when, but God, he's a, no, God is a just God and he's righteous. It's a reason why I said get rid of it. Because if you leave a little bit of sin, family, that's all you need. It's going to take you out. It's going to prevent you from going where God wants you to go. You give 99.9% of your life to Christ and say, this one little area, God, this is mine. That's what's going to hold you back. And family, that's, I'm just saying, that's why we got to listen to the voice of God. God sent them in there to get rid of it. They have the power to get rid of it. Sorry, so let me finish my read this so I can give it to you just like God gave it to me. That whatever they are and were, the satanic sin that produced them, God said, kill it, wipe it out, get rid of it. God is still mightier and gave his people the power to defeat any and all giants in their life. God gives us the power to defeat the giants in our life. Physical, mental, emotional, social, relational, and spiritual. All defeated by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. It is finished. When God said it's finished, it's finished. You can't add to or subtract to anything when it's finished. And when God says it's finished, verse 33, it talked about, it's a huge problem in our own sight. Family, we're not called to walk by sight. We're called to walk by faith. If you could see it, then you wouldn't have to trust God. Wherever we are, family, we have to trust God. That's no way around. I wish I could say we can get around trusting God, but family, we can't. Every situation we're in, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but we got to trust God that whatever it brings, God's already got it covered, which he does. And if he calls us home, we're stamped with that authentication code. We just go home to be in his presence forever. And I trust God with that. So I'm going to live like I trust God. I'm going to love you because I trust God. I'm not going to complain because I trust God. Wherever you are, God has you there. And you got to trust him right where you... I know where I'd like to be, but I got to trust him right where I am in order to get where I want to be. Otherwise, I get there and I don't trust God there because I didn't trust him here. This is a whole trust-faith relationship. Faith in God, faith in the ability of God, faith in the word of God. When you see yourself other than God sees you, then you complain and murmur about everything. Why? Because your problem is not with people. Your problem is with God. Your problem is you're walking by sight and not by faith. Your problem is you don't really trust God. In some things, yes, but in all things, no. Let me say that again. See, here's the problem. In some things, you trust God, but in all things, no. And that's why you complain. Otherwise, you wouldn't complain about anything because you know why? Because God got it handled. Let me ask you, the last thing you complained about, why were you complaining if God has it covered? No, I mean, seriously. Family, you and I have to trust God with all of our hearts, and we have to live at the highest level of spiritual maturity. I'll say amen for you. There's just no way around it. With your kids, with your finances, with your job, with your ministry, with your parents, with your grandkids, with your church, you have to trust God with everything. And that does require that you have to live at a higher and the highest level of spiritual maturity, knowing that God got it covered. And see, you're not complaining about your spouse because you're praying for your spouse. And since I'm praying for my spouse, I know that God's already working it out. So I'm not even complaining or worrying. All right, I'm going to say amen for you. I'm not complaining about my kids because I'm praying for the heart of my kids, and I know that God's going to soften that heart. And so I'm not going to argue with them. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to love them. I'm going to instruct them. I'm going to teach them. And I know God is working on that heart. And so why am I complaining about it? I'm not, because I trust God and I know God is going to work it out. So I'm not complaining about my kids. And kids, you're not complaining about your parents because you're praying for the heart of your parent, for God to soften it and work on it. So you're not going back and forth with them. You just go in your room and you pray. And since you trust God and you believe God, you know it's worked out. There's nothing else to be said. Why are we complaining? You know why you're complaining? Because you don't trust God. And then you pull up in your Jeep. Your greed, your envy, your ego, and your pride. That's the only time you complain. You're not trusting God, and you got to get in your Jeep, and you got to go to somebody's house and give them a piece of your mind. Because I can't wait for God. I got to handle this. I'm going to call them right now. Let me get them. Okay, let me park the Jeep so I can call them. Bam! So you don't trust God. Otherwise, you chill out. Let's finish this up. Let's wrap this up. Look at let's go to 14:1. And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night because they listened to the wrong voice. God told them, Caleb told them, and then this joker tells them, and they start crying and weeping. Are you serious? And you crying and weeping all night because you listening to the wrong voice. Trust God, pray, and get some sleep. Are you serious? You got to stop listening to the wrong voice. Watching the news before you go to bed, can't even sleep, crying and weeping. Shut it off, read your word, trust God, pray, and get some sleep. Not listen to the doctor. I am. I'm going to do what I need to do, but I ain't studying that joker. I'm studying the word. And I'm praying, and I'm getting some sleep. Amen. If God calls me home tonight, I'm going to paradise. I'm good. Trust me, y'all. I'm good. Amen. Look at the people, though. Remember we started by saying these are examples of not to be. They're listening to the wrong voice, and now they're crying and weeping all night. Weeping and worrying all night. Because they're listening to the wrong voice. So next time you find yourself all worried and stressed out, then understand, man, I've been listening to the wrong voice. And you're complaining and you're going at it with people. You're listening to the wrong voice, and you're in the wilderness. And you're not going to get out till you trust God in the wilderness. And don't wait too long, because then you'll die on the side of the road in the wilderness. Okay, verse 2, and we're wrapping this today's lesson up. We'll continue the rest of it next week. Look, in verse 2, and the children of Israel murmured, oh, here we go. Now you're talking against the leadership and against God. Why? Because you're listening to the wrong voice and you're not trusting God. Murmur against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation. That's all y'all. That's the whole congregation. That's all we got right here. That's all y'all. That's right. That's the congregation. They in church just like this. And God was trying to speak, and Moses and Caleb trying to speak. And they said, no, we're going to listen to the joker outside who don't know what he's talking about, who's contrary to the word of God. And then y'all going to tell me what did they say? And the whole congregation said unto him, would God. Now, here we go with this self-defeated talk, the broken record that we've already heard. Would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. So remember, it's not your problem's not with people, your problem's with God. Oh, it gets better, Sister Washington, Big Mother. And we're for it. Look at this. See, family, if you don't get anything else, when you walk out of here, trust God, trust the word of God. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey, or should just be taken out and be taken. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Oh, it gets better, Brother Jerry. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Now we didn't listen to the wrong voice so much. I'm going back to doing what I used to do, because this Christianity stuff ain't even working. Are you serious? See what happens when you listen to the wrong voice? You way out doing something you have no business doing. And not only that, what they say? And they said one to another, that's all y'all talking. Let us make a captain. So you know I had to look up a captain. So let us get us a new chief, a new head. It even means a beginning, a new beginning. And I'm trying to figure out how you having a new beginning and you going backwards. How you having a new beginning and you going backwards? It also means the captain means best. Let's get something that's better than this. You looking for a better God than God. And something that's at the top. You trying to find something that's on top of God. The word in the Hebrew is Rosh. R-O-S-H is spelled R-O-S-H and it's pronounced Roshe. We're going to get us a new Roshe because we tired of all this stuff. Let us vote and get a new one. And then that's where we're going to pick it up next week. Let's see what happens with the new one. We're going to get us a new God, Jerry. I can't believe it. God, help us. And y'all know we no different. God, help us. God told us, the word of God told us, and I'm going to listen to somebody else. And then I'm going back to what I used to do, because some kind of way in my mind, and you know what Egypt stood for? Slavery, bondage, abuse. Some kind of way that was better than where I am now and where God's trying to take me. God have mercy. Oh, and I'm going to get somebody new. I'm going to vote somebody new in to take me there. So remember, people come into your life for two reasons. To move you closer to God or take you further away. If you got somebody coming in new, you better make sure that they're on the Lord's team. Make sure they're not taking, they're the beginning of going backwards. Make sure they're not the beginning of going backwards. All right, let's bow our heads. I gotta stop. I'm talking too much. I'm going to get into next week's message. Oh, God. And when we walk out of here, we got to trust you. When we get back home, we got to trust you. When the phone rings, when we go to the job tomorrow, when we go to school tomorrow, we got to remember this word and we got to trust you. We got to trust the word of God. We got to trust the voice of God. And we have to shut out all the negative words of the world, so we can continue to move forward as we journey through the wilderness. So we can continue to experience the promise of God, the blessings of God, the obedience of God. God, don't let the enemy trick us to think us that it's a new beginning by going backwards. A new beginning by getting involved in some stuff we know that's going to take us down a road we don't need to be on. Maybe it's a new person, but it's the same old story. God, help us discern your word, your promises. When we see the giants in our life, Lord, let us stop weeping and worrying and crying and let us start trusting God. Let us see ourselves as the mighty men and women of valor, the champion of strength that we are, that you created us to be, the treasure, the heirs, the joint heirs with God and with the Son. Said it was written for our example, and you instruct us as we walk daily. Let that instruction stay with us. Let the word of God stay with us. Bless your people to hear. Bless your word, Lord. May it transform our life. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to go to step one. I haven't even trusted Jesus Christ. I haven't been filled with his spirit. I'm not authenticated. He hasn't sealed me with his spirit that's you and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. If you want to get saved, you don't have to guess. Maybe you're here, you want to rededicate your life. That's between you and God. You're in the wilderness. You've been listening to the wrong voices. It happens. That's why it's an example for our instruction. That's between you and God. The word says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Just ask God to forgive you of your sins and then connect your heart to God. Then continue to pray and study the word. Start with the Proverbs. Get the wisdom. Pray for the wisdom of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom of God, the favor of God, the fresh anointing of God. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I want to make it official. I've been visiting, but I haven't joined. I want to make it official today. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, we love you. We accept the challenge, Lord, to live at the highest level of spiritual maturity with the help of the Holy Spirit. Apart from you, we can do nothing. But we know with God, all things are possible. And we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So God, help us to live at the highest level of Christian spiritual maturity. Bless your people, Lord. Thank you for the revelation that leads to transformation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed. Seasoned saints, we will see you at Burger King in a few hours.
So Tuesdays and Fridays, right?
Yep.